Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Phil is wearing his French stash for the occasion.
I am. It's lovely this, isn't it?
JB's wearing a British and Irish Lions vintage shirt for the occasion. I didn't dress for the occasion, but I've actually got a Canterbury base layer on.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Have you been hiking or playing contact sports?
I was... No, none of those.
I was... No.
Lying on the sofa.
Cool story, bro.
I was going to go for a run, but didn't. So, yeah, cool story.
This one's here.
Right, let's get into this then. The Six Nations preview pod. Hands in and pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, and we know from looking at the numbers of people that listen to our podcast that there's lots and lots of new listeners, and we thank you for that. That's maybe testament to just how excited the British rugby public and worldwide rugby public are about the Six Nations, which is upon us. It's days away now, getting underway this weekend. And aside from like World Cup, and in terms of annual competitions, I don't think it gets much better than the Six Nations.
I'll go one further on that. I don't think there's any annual sports tournament that is as good as Six Nations.
Outside of rugby?
Outside of rugby. Well, yeah. What would you rather watch? Wimbledon? Not really.
No. Nope.
Football's got no equivalents.
Nope.
There's a Royal Rumble. I mean
that was good though, wasn't it?
I don't know. I didn't actually watch it this year. It's on record.
Oh, is it? I won't tell you who won then. Right, can you tell I'm not doing a lot at the minute? hoping to have a job on the radio very soon. But Six Nations, what I love about it is I remember watching the Five Nations when I was a kid, and it's still got the connection with the amateur era.
And the rivalries as well.
Yeah.
And the drinking. Don't forget the drinking.
The drinking. Edinburgh or Cardiff or London, Richmond, Twickenham or Dublin or Paris, or I'm sure Rome as well. Great drinking cities.
Oh, so true, Phil, so true. So thank you very much for listening, and tell your mates, because we don't have a television network, we don't have a radio station, and yet we still manage to stand shoulder to shoulder some of those other ones that do have TV networks and radio stations and stuff.
We do have a dungeon, though.
We do have a rugby dungeon, that's where we're sat right now. I'm Tim, JB, that's him.
Hello.
And that's Philip.
Hi, Tim.
Right. So, I reckon we should just rattle through some of the domestic rugby, because, of course, this is one of those weird years with the World Cup where all of that is still ongoing. So how about we deal with some of that first?
Okay, fire away.
Right,
hands up. Anyone feel sorry for Mike Ford?
No.
I do. I do. My hand is up.
As is mine, Phil.
Go on, then. Talk to me.
Well, I feel sorry for Mike Ford because I think he could... I don't know. I think he could well lose his job.
Absolutely. But I don't feel sorry for him.
Depends who goes down, but yeah, Mike Ford, he should have been top three. Oh, definitely top four, beaten finalists last year. And I feel sorry for him because I can't tell what's changed.
No.
I'm looking at that team and there's some real outstanding players right across the board. Like you look at Francois Lowe, is one of the best open sides in the world. They've got an excellent scrum. They've got George Ford. They've got Jonathan Joseph. You've got wingers like Anthony Watson. You've got someone like Aguja, Argentinian international wing, who's not even starting. Most wings and wings come in.
Devoto's a fringe player.
Priestland,
like squad
Homer.
Player, and he's Bowden.
He's an incredible player.
Yeah. So you've got all of these names, and last season everything was going right, and this season, I've watched them a lot. And I can't yet put my finger on exactly what they're doing wrong.
And which is exactly why I feel sorry for Mike Ford, because it's not like, you know, we can't sit here smugly and go, oh, it's obvious. Look, they just haven't sorted X or Y out. And that would indicate that it's maybe a big coaching problem. I think there's lots and lots of 1% that are going wrong for Bath, and they've all happened at the same time. And that's a really difficult thing to sort out.
OK, so this is why I don't feel sorry for him, because you guys have just said nothing's changed. All the players are the same, etc., etc. That's exactly the problem. Nothing has changed. And I think in this world where you have people like Saracens with their KPMG accountants crunching big data, you need to be continually changing and continually evolving your game plan. The guys that are struggling are Bath and Northampton, who look exactly the same. Exactly the same.
I do get that, but there's a funny one, though, because, again, Leroy Houston played really well. Since he's probably been their best player in the last few years.
Bath.
Leroy. And the way they reward him, signing a succession of number eights continuously. Cheers, Leroy.
Yeah. Thanks for all your hard work.
It's signings like that make me wonder whether who is doing the signing. Who is getting the players?
Well, the Sam Burgess one, there's always been a question over who really wanted him. Mm. Was it the RFU? Was it Mike Ford? Was it Craig Bruce? That's Craig.
Yeah, well, let's not get into that, because
anyway,
that's a whole other kind of
I feel sorry for him. Again, there is a... You've got to respect, on the flip side, Saracens again doing
well.
Whoa.
Just one question about Bath before we move on. If Mike Ford gets fired, would any of you like to guess what Carl Ferns might text as an emoji on Twitter? Sorry, as a message on Twitter.
Some laughing face emojis.
I think he's already done that.
Crying laughing face emojis.
He did that when Burgess left. I don't think he'd do that when someone lost their job. He's a bit more respectful than that. I know Carl Ferns. He's more respectful than that.
Okay.
But no, here's the thing. Like, would it affect, you know, one of the big crown jewels of Bath is George Ford. I'm not. I know it shouldn't get in the way, that, you know, a father-son relationship, but would it?
That could... a tremendous point. I've not even thought of that. Maybe he might be Brian Redpath and someone be put on top of him.
Brian Redpath.
Yeah, that's right.
Someone put on top of him. Or Gary Gould, and you move two people underneath him.
Yeah.
You take off the top layer.
The top expensive layer.
Yeah.
They might promote him to something.
Director of rugby, less control.
Yeah.
More kind
is he
of
not
direct,
like operations director or something like that?
Catering manager. Yeah. Catering manager on like 400,000 or something.
Stadium planning manager. That's probably the biggest job they've got. Anyway, Saracens are absolutely immense again that second half to again do what Saracens do. We shouldn't dwell on it too much because we've talked about it tons on the podcast, but Maro Itoje was immense.
He really was. I was getting a little bit kind of frustrated because the commentary team were talking about him so much, but every time they were waxing lyrical about him, it was hugely deserved. So it was getting boring because he was so damn good.
Yeah, we got a tweet straight away after, you know, about a minute after the final whistle on Saturday, because I was the reporter for BT Sport, so I gave Maro his bottle of man of the match champagne.
Is it champagne? Didn't you tell me it was like Carver? You looked at the yes. label underneath, and it was like a $3.99 bottle of Carver.
That was a couple of years ago when I was. That's not when I was doing this role. I will have a look at it again and see. But yes, it was in previous years. It has been Carver. So I gave him his bottle of fizz, and within minutes, someone had got on Twitter and went, "Oh, why didn't you congratulate him and say that you'd made Maro a prize-winning Maro, as was mentioned on the podcast before?" And that was an opportunity missed, and I'm sorry about that. Now, I'm going to jump to the Pro 12, where Leinster lost at Rodney Parade.
I can't believe I've gone through all the effort of making a Pro 12 sounder and you haven't eaten.
Oh, I'm sorry, JB, sorry.
I'm actually offended now.
Right, OK, let me just pretend that hasn't happened. It's time for a little bit of a Pro 12 update.
This is a presentation from the world's most explosive league. The creators of Dragons 13, Zebra Nil. Starring Rory Pittman, Scott Andrews, and Luke Burgess, the other one. And definitely not featuring Aroni, Celtic Warriors, or Border Reavers. This is the Pro 12 Report.
That is outstanding work, JB.
Thank you. Well, it's the least the Pro 12 deserves.
Well, the Pro 12, Sean, have quite a lot of players in their squads. So I've got a little challenge for you. I want you to, because Leinster went to Rodney Parade in front of just 4,303 people.
Record crowd.
And they lost to Newport Gwent Dragons. So I want you to tell me an Irishman in Leinster's team.
I can name one. I can name at least one.
Oh, actually, some of their other Irishmen are there. So Gary Ringrose was there.
Yeah, Ringrose was the one I was going to name.
But they had quite a lot of changes.
Well, I would have named Ringrose because I know he's not in the Ireland squad,
controversially.
Young second row who played the other week and got man of the match, Malone?
Ross Maloney.
Maloney, yeah.
Wow.
Good knowledge.
I know virtually all of their front row is called up for Ireland. So Mike Ross, Marty Moore, although he's injured, Keane Healy, Jack McGrath, Sean Cronin and Ricard Strauss. I think they're all, there's six front rows been called up for Ireland. So I assume none of those were playing.
Ricard Strauss came off the bench, played the second half.
That young scrum half, I can't remember his name.
It just sounds...
McGrath.
Luke McGrath, scrum half.
Learning the names of these people just seems... It just seems like such a waste of your valuable time. it's like if you told me you knew every stamp between 1920 and 1930s. It's just unnecessary.
But or like seabirds. Seabirds from the Irish Sea, like you could name,
exactly,
Jay.
Exactly.
Was there anyone else? Was
Dominic Ryan played...
Was the wing centre, Fergus McFadden, was he playing? Because he's not in the Ireland squad, is he?
That's great knowledge, Phil. Yeah, but there's just that they were missing a lot of players. It still looked like a reasonable team, but they went to Dragons and lost in horrible conditions. Elsewhere, what do you want to touch upon?
Ulster dominating, bonus point away win.
Yeah. Wow, against who? It must be a big team.
Real big. Currently bottom of the Pro 12, Treviso.
Oh, wow.
But bonus point away win?
I think probably we should at this point mention Newcastle.
We should.
Because that's probably one of the biggest results of the weekend, beating Harlequins. You guys were saying on the podcast last week, Harlequins will love it on the on the fake pitch.
But the key for Harlequins is they're missing four of their best players and leaders.
As we mentioned, I think we both called Newcastle to win this, didn't we?
I didn't. I called Harlequins.
I think I called Harlequins to win.
I definitely called Newcastle to.
I called Northampton to no Wasps to beat Northampton. Then on game day...
You changed your mind.
I changed my mind and put a tenner on Northampton. I looked at the two team sheets like, no, they can't.
It's just too much quality in that Northampton team.
They lost.
A Newcastle win was masterminded in the second half by Andy Goode.
Who came on with 20 minutes to go with, I think Newcastle were 19-10 down and scored 16 unanswered points, of which Goode kicked 11 of them to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you pay the man the big bucks.
Well, that's not the biggest comeback of the weekend.
What was?
It's not what, well, the Saracens was.
No.
No.
Broughton Park. The Broughton Park comeback. We were 25-0 down. Half-time, we lost our director of rugby, who called us a disgrace and walked off. Then we came out the second half and scored 32 points. 32 unanswered points. At half-time, one of them spoke for about 10 seconds... Slammed the door, walked out. The other one degenerated into psycho babble, technical speech about kind of caring and loving and culture and challenging yourself. And then I stood up and said, I feel shell-shocked. And then I was cut off and that's it. So my team talk to the boys at half-time was, I feel shell-shocked. And that was it.
Constructive.
Yeah. Well, going back, like, again, Andy Goode, who was too injured, so injured he had to retire... from London Irish, and has come back and masterminded a vital win, which puts London Irish bottom of the table, having got an absolute hammering away at Sale Sharks. Today, pick who is relegated.
Irish.
You think Irish are going down?
I think they are.
I don't think it'll be Irish. I don't know why I don't think it'll be Irish. I just don't. I'm still going to say Newcastle.
Really?
Yeah.
Tim?
I think Irish have got some wins in them.
They do, but Ben Franks now is out.
Is he?
Massive loss. They're going to have Blair Cowan and some important players out for these next 8 or 9 weeks. I am fearful for Irish, but I'm going to say Worcester.
Worcester started well, but Their performances in more recent weeks haven't been as good.
I think it's 11 straight defeats in all competitions they've had now.
Yes, that's not good.
And as Bath and Saracens showed in their matchup, it's kind of a habit. Winning and losing becomes a bit of a habit.
It does, doesn't it?
And then Leicester having a bit of a comeback away at Gloucester. I was watching that one going. At the time, I was watching the scores coming in, and Bath were winning and looking comfortable against Saracens. Gloucester were winning and looking comfortable against Leicester. And he thought, oh, here we go, it's being shaken up.
Yeah, well, I was all ready to say, look at these teams without their England stars, they can't perform. And then Leicester and Saracens, both incredible comebacks to take it. Toulouse Vianu try. It's some comeback, that.
Before we get into talking about the Six Nations, we should just point out, if you can stop moving around in your leather chair, make it sound like you're trucking.
Oh, we've got new leather chairs in 2 weeks' time.
What?
Ooh. Well, me and Phil do. You're staying on that. Me and Phil will have our own mics on reclining leather chairs.
Will we?
Yeah, we will.
Oh, good work, JB.
High five, mate. You should have been nicer to me, Tim.
Right, we've got an Egg Chasers Fantasy Rugby League for the Six Nations. Now, in previous years, we've had 600-700 people getting on board this one. So come and join in.
And we were also... the top performing based on
average
average performance. So informed fans.
Yes, we are very proud that we have the most. That's you were talking about, paying you a compliment now. We have the most informed rugby union fans in the world when it comes to the Six Nations. So we've got to defend that crown again. So you can sign up. You can pick a team, ESPN Fantasy League, and then once you pick your team, you add yourself to our league, which has a unique PIN code. Now, in previous years, I made a jingle for it that was well catchy. Everyone remembers the... In fact, someone's even tweeted us going, oh, because you've tweeted out the details of the Fantasy League, someone's gone, oh, that PIN number's no 81262, is it?
Yeah, 81262, I remember
81262.
Till my grave, I remember that.
Yeah. The league code, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a little jingle for it by next time. The league code, once you've added your team... And we've put the details up at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Go there and find all the details.
And we'll pin the tweet as well.
We'll make sure you can get it. We'll pin the tweet, so it'll be right there on our main page. Go there and find it, even if you're not on Twitter. Twitter.com/rugbypodcast, and the information will be there. But it's sign yourself up, ESPN Fantasy League, and the code you need, 112-4114-25164. 112-4114-25164.
That's why we paid the big bucks.
112-4114-25164. Yeah, 112-4114. Twitter.com/rugbypodcast. Right, get involved. Right, let's talk Six Nations. Here's a question for you boys. Is Eddie Jones Stuart Lancaster in disguise?
No.
Reason I say that, is there any difference in the likely personnel that are going to be turning out for England at Murrayfield than the personnel that Stuart Lancaster would have selected?
Maybe you wouldn't have seen Devoto and or Clifford. But besides that...
So what is different?
I'll tell you what's different. The coaching. I mean, we all knew going into that World Cup, the players, they had some real quality right across the board. Mm. The difference is, we learnt in the World Cup that England didn't have the right game plan. They didn't have the set piece.
Yep.
Both their scrums and their lineouts were taken apart. And they just failed to perform because of that. Their back line had no...
And it feels like they only had one strike move.
Well, yeah. No idea. No cohesiveness.
I wonder if it's going to be a case of this being an indictment, a further indictment of the Stuart Lancaster reign, or kind of justification of where he was going.
Well, yeah. Well, this is kind of my point, because let's not forget, and I agree completely with what you've just said, Phil, but all of the focus on all the criticism of Stuart Lancaster was on who he was picking.
What I was just going to say was, one of the things that Eddie Jones has really focused on in his press conferences is getting the set piece back to where it should be. I mean, he talked about the 2003 World Cup final, and he said when Australia faced England there, they knew that England's scrum and line-out was the best in the world, and they just had to get parity and they could potentially win the game. And he spoke about the fear that England pack kind of gave everyone else in the world because it was so dominant. And the England pack that we saw in the World Cup was...
But do we need to go through the names of the players involved and say, well, yeah, you've got Phil Vickery, Ben Kay, Martin Johnson, Neil Back, Richard Hill, Lawrence Delalio. You know what
Steve
I mean?
Thompson.
Well, Steve Thompson.
Why don't you do it another way? Why
Trevor Woodman.
Trevor Woodman.
Why do you go That's through, the starting pack.
Why do you go through the names of the South African pack in this World Cup and how distinguished they were and how Japan got parity with South Africa? And if you could do that with Japan,
I get it.
You know, who knows what you'll do with England. I will say this, though. Scotland, it's not going to be an easy place to go, not just because they did well in the World Cup and they've got a good coach and the rest of it. They've got a really, really good prop. Now, I don't know if Nell will be starting. I assume he will, unless he's injured.
Yeah,
he can be dominant.
The way that I'm looking at it, he's talked up that England pack. But one of his main roles will be he'll be the attack and skills coach. And you saw what he could do with that Japanese team. Mm. And that England team has got some serious pace in that back line.
Yeah.
So I think he's doing this almost as a ruse to say, right, we're going to focus on the up front and then unleash the backs.
Yeah, you know, we want to talk personnel. We say that they're pretty much the same. The one thing which everyone criticised Lancaster for, including me, I mean, I was loving it being a Welshman, Barrett and Burgess in the centres. Well, that was just ludicrous. Maybe not Barrett, but certainly Burgess. And he hasn't done that. So he can't do any worse. You know, that was the main sticking point.
Well, it was one of them. Right, I'm gonna grab the wheel of rugby today and I'm going to spin it and you two are going to take opposing sides. So give that a spin. Oi! Well, this one is on the subject of Eddie Jones's personnel.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay, so Eddie Jones criticised Stuart Lancaster for selecting Chris Robshaw, saying he was a 6.5, not a 7. With James Haskell likely to start at 7.
So the question is, Haskell is an out-and-out 7, Haskell, yes or no?
Haskell out-and-out 7, or Haskell another 6.5?
Jay, what do you want?
I'll go for 7, thanks.
Right, you have 30 seconds to make your argument. Go.
Haskell is not only an out-and-out 7, but he's one of the premier out-and-out 7s in the entire Premiership. In fact, I'd go as far as to say, if he didn't have not just a current great, but an all-time great in George Smith ahead of him, he'd probably be the best 7 in the Premiership right now. He might not be turning over loads of ball like Kvesic, but he is a lot stronger, and furthermore, his work rate is through the roof. Imagine that. Now, combined with all the experience that he's picking up from George Smith, to me, it's a no-brainer. He's 100% at 7. I love the call.
Yeah, all right, I've heard that. And Phil?
I've got no problem with the call, because I don't think you need an out-and-out 7 necessarily if the whole team can do the job of slowing down and speeding up ball when necessary. But James Haskell is categorically not an out-and-out 7. He's not a Fetcher style. The two main things you look at for an out-and-out 7 is strong over the ball, Pocock and Hooper, stealing ball, turnover, slowing down the opposition ball, and the link play, having good hands, someone like Tipperick, someone like Hooper, who at a push could play in the centres because their handling skills are so good. Haskell has neither of those two fundamentals. He works very hard, he's good all around the park, he's a good leader, great banter, but he's not a 7. He's a 6.5 at best.
You did a good effort at defending what is clearly wrong, JB. That Eddie Jones was knocking Stuart Lancaster for picking a 6.5, and he's picking a 6.5. However, I think JB did a good effort purely.
So it's a sympathy point for Jay.
Yeah.
It's not a sympathy point.
You can never enjoy that point, Jay.
It was a point because I'm right.
No, I'm not.
Hear me now, believe me later. He's He's a great man.
He is a great man, I'll give you that.
He's a great man, without a doubt. All right. Ireland. Declining force versus Ireland, an improving force. Phil, you can pick first.
I'm going to say,
as JB's phone goes off,
as usual, I'm going to say they're an improving force.
Go on, why'd you say that?
Now, if you look at the Pro 12, the Irish results on the whole haven't been great this year. But if you look at that Six Nations squad, and if you look what Joe Schmidt has done over the past two and a half years, they are on a definite upward trend. They've won the last two Six Nations, for God's sake. They've got some superb players and international experience right across the board. They've got great leaders. And it'll be interesting to see who takes over from Paul O'Connell. But Rory Best.
That's a Freudian slip because his pecs were looking pretty good in those team shots. We'll come to that in a minute.
Looking stacked.
He is.
But they've got class right across the board, and assuming he's fit, they've got one of the best tens in the world in Johnny Sexton, and they should be right up there, because regardless of the injuries at regional level, they've got a pretty settled team. There's not too many changes from the team that won it last year from won it the year before. I mean, O'Driscoll and O'Connell going are quite big, but they've got good players to come in place of them. So I fully expect them to continue their upward trend with Joe Schmidt.
JB, Ireland are a declining force.
Nice try, Phil, but that's absolutely laughable. OK, so first of all, Irish success has always been predicated on the fact that their Pro 12 teams did extremely well, both domestically and in Europe. This year, that categorically has not happened. Second of all, they've lost a whole bunch of leaders. Leader-in-chief being Paul O'Connell. They're relying on men such as Devin Toner, who is named after a printer. They are also relying on people like George Best. What's his name? Best. Rory Best. You can be as stacked and as good around the park as you like. Ask Dave Ward. But if you can't do your primary job of hitting your lineouts, forget it. Every team goes through peaks and troughs, and this is categorically a trough.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think they're going to be any good this Six Nations.
I was surprised you picked an improving force, Phil. I like the long-term approach you took to answering that question. Like you're not just going, they've had a bad European campaign, the provinces.
Yeah.
I'm giving Phil the win
on that.
But
that by definition means I'm right. Because if it's a long-term trend, currently they must be declining to be improving.
How do you work that logic?
Well, okay, so
long-term improving doesn't mean short-term decline.
Okay, if they are they worse than than before the World Cup? Yes, because they've lost key people, so they're going to have to improve to get back to where they were.
They're continually improving. They before Joe Schmidt took over.
All right,
they've improved consistently from then.
So you reckon that this Ireland team is better than the Ireland team in the last Six Nations that won it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will see.
Oh wow, that was a heated debate.
So is that 2-0 now for me?
That's 1-1.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I know you should never have got that Haskell point.
All I know, the Six Nations, I think the big surprise, I think much like the World Cup, you're going to see the emergence and the surprise of Tier 2 sides, which is why I think Tier 2 side England are going to have a big tournament.
Very good. Enjoy that.
Wrap up the wheel of rugby. This one's a super fast answer. You have to do it in 15 seconds. Uh-huh. And I'm going to tell you what your point of view is.
Well,
15 seconds, Wales kit is beautiful. Go.
Under Armour have got a long and distinguished career of making great kits for high-performance teams. Look at look at the owners, for God's sakes. Tom Brady has a stake in the company. Not only is Tom Brady a beautiful man, but is also a very stylish man. There's no way Wales would have a kit which Tom Brady is part owner of and it not be beautiful. Wonderful kit.
Phil, Wales' kit is an abomination.
Do I need to go on?
You've got 15 seconds. You've got to win
that statement.
Let's just sit in silence for 10 more seconds.
That statement is completely correct, Tim. I will just say, if Wales want to know how a red and white Under Armour kit should look...
Ring the buzzer now, it's over. You had your time, 15 seconds.
Go and look at the Canada kit, which is gorgeous. The Wales kit, however, is an abomination.
And I'm raising Phil's arm up.
Oh, come
He's
on!
The winner of Wheel
the quality of the argument was poor.
It was an easy point to make.
Just on another subject, because we were talking about... Oh, JB, your phone. We were talking about Rory Best looking in really good nick when the captains of the Six Nations teams all had their promotional photographs. Dylan Hartley, on the other hand, is it just me, or did he look like he's carrying a little bit of timber? Now,
Some holiday weight, Tim.
Some holiday... Yeah, exactly. Some suspension weight. Probably for Dylan Hartley. He had, just an observation. Nothing wrong with that. You need a little bit of body fat to absorb the impacts that you have to do at the top level.
I was actually surprised when he stood. I would have put Hartley as considerably bigger than Rory Best. When you see the two of them stood next to each other, Rory Best looks massive.
Rory Best is closer to the camera.
He is slightly closer.
And he also is covering up half of one of his shoulders and the other.
There's several... That's not the only picture.
OK.
What I will say, Max Jennings on Twitter said about Hartley, You can say what you want about our captain, but his nipple game is outrageous.
Wow. Outstanding nipple game from Dylan.
Good lad.
I would say as well that when I look at the England stash, I have a... Now, Canterbury, you know, we're long-standing fans of Canterbury, and they do a fantastic job, and I do love the England kit. There is a little something wrong with their shorts, though. I think they're slightly too long.
Yeah.
I don't like their shorts.
I was thinking this...
No, not their shorts in general, the England international team shorts.
I was watching the Bath Saris game, and Matt Garvey's shorts were like basketballer shorts. They were like down to his knees.
Do you know what? Weirdly, Matt Garvey's shorts always look like that, though. Because as soon as you said that, I've got a mental image of Matt Garvey. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
It's like the image of Matt Garvey and his long shorts is the same. It's like mentally ingrained as Tom May and his cycling shorts. Johnny May.
And Charlie Sharples and...
Everyone else in Gloucester.
Rob Cook and Trinder, 12 Trees, Tyndall when he was there.
Exactly,
long knee-length cycling shorts. I just think they're slightly too long, and I you know, we want to be able to appreciate those lovely quads that rugby players work so hard on.
Like James Short, who got a lot of appreciation for his quads today from Hugo Monier.
He did. Hugo Monier said of James Short on the BT Sport commentary. He said, look at James Short's quads." To which David Flatman replied, "Yeah, quadzilla."
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If England had an injury crisis on the wings, who would be called up first, James Short or Alex Lewington?
Oh, good question.
I think they're about four places down. But if there's an injury crisis, I'd go Lewington first.
Yeah, I probably would. Because he's had a bit longer performing at that level. But Short, on his performances this season, has been outstanding.
I completely agree with both of you, but Short has been brilliant. If Irish go down... Lewington seems like an Exeter player to me.
Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't really need him. Maybe when Noel goes...
Well, you play all three of them, if you wanted. Yeah, Dolman's playing well, though, so...
You could do. I'll tell you who was wearing some short shorts this weekend, Tim.
Who's that?
Sonny Bill Williams.
Oh, my word.
Playing sevens.
Can they be classed as shorts? Like, legally? Trade Descriptions Act?
They're certainly short. That's for sure.
They are extremely
What a
short.
Man. What a man.
What a specimen.
Have you seen any of the highlights from the sevens?
I've seen little bits. I've seen a massive hit that Sonny Bill got boshed.
He got flattened, didn't he, by one of the Kenyan boys?
Yeah.
I reckon Sonny Bill one day will be Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Like, kind of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger story.
Correct. Exactly like it. Exactly like it. How could he not be?
Yeah, I can see that.
On the Hugo Monier commentary... we've also tweeted to @rugbypodcast. I'm trying to find it. Who said it?
Let me get it. I've got it here.
Yeah.
Conor Morrissey.
Yes.
Conor Morrissey.
42 minutes into Worcester versus Exeter on BT Sport, Hugo Monier, in reference to a no-arm tackle, said of the player, and I don't know which player it was he was referring to, he's literally a bowling ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All.
I think it was the prop. How do you say his name? I want to say Scharnhorst, but that's like a World War II battleship.
So I'm sure they were making the point that it's really quite hard for someone who's got a massive barrel chest and little arms, as we were talking about on previous podcasts, to actually grab someone when you're making an impact. But going so far as to say he's literally a bowling ball.
Nick Shonnett, I think, might have been the chap.
Yep, that's the boy. Is he English?
If you literally had to select a bowling ball in your team, I think...
prop
would probably be where you'd pick.
No, it just go backwards in the scrum.
Not only that, how would you bind onto it? Oh, you got three
and it
fingers,
can't lift.
Can't lift.
Can't lift it all.
Well, it's unstable lifting.
Yeah, it's pretty. Maybe you just stick it on the wing for and just have like a defensive expert because you wouldn't. You can't catch a ball.
Center's not bad. 12 isn't
12.
Too bad.
12 and just making massive hits.
And you can skip past it and all the rest of it. Yeah, 12.
Yeah, 12.
Props
yeah.
A terrible shot, Tim. I don't know what you were thinking.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Is he? Oh, he's South African. Has he got a South African cap?
No.
Tell you what, when he becomes qualified, he's worth a look at.
24, 6'2", 19 and a half stone, tight head prop.
And just while we were talking about stash, we were talking about shorts and we were talking about the well, there's a couple of things from the launch of the Six Nations. One, it's the first time they've done a coach's picture, so far as I know, which is quite a nice touch.
No, I think they always do that.
Oh, they always do that, do
yeah.
they?
I've never seen one.
I've never seen one before.
Yeah, they do. It's normally Gatland looking really
Gatland
miserable.
Gatland looking like the godfather, the godfather.
Snoop Dogg.
But the player, we've gone backwards because the players were all wearing trainers. Outrageous. Yeah. We've been through this so many times. We might have to bring back our campaign.
Have you ever seen?
I thought we were getting somewhere.
Have you ever seen a picture of Eddie Jones flanked by Gustard and Borthwick? It's menacing. So, you've got Eddie Jones, who looks a little bit like Yoda, but the two men either side of him just look so, so tough.
Enormous.
So yeah. tough.
Shaven head, stubble, grizzled.
Yes. He looks like a mafia boss.
He does, with his henchmen alongside him. Yeah, but, there's a... I think that must be last year's.
Let's have a look at that one.
With Lancaster and San Andre, Vern Cotter, Schmidt, Gatland and... Brunel.
But players, will you please in your promotional pictures wear boots, not trainers? There is never an excuse. It just does the rugby kit just doesn't look right with trainers.
No, wear trainers if you want, if you're happy with your legacy when you're showing your pictures to your grandchildren of you wearing stupid trainers in a promotional shot. If that's what you're happy with, carry on.
I like your rule. If you wear trainers in a promotional shot with your full kit, you wear trainers on a pitch.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah. The women's, there's one of the women's photo shoot as well. Two of them aren't even wearing trainers.
It looks so stupid. So intensely stupid, you know. Now what they should do is, if you're going to wear trainers, they should wear tracksuit bottoms, because that would look pretty cool then. Tracksuit bottoms in your top, because it looks like you're about to go training. I can take that. I can't take... there is a Twitter account called Full Kit Wankers. And they basically all look like this.
The only area of the country I've been where you, like, if you go to
Liverpool,
if you go to a gym or just people's playing five-a-side football, they will wear full kit is Liverpool.
Really?
If you go to a gym in Liverpool, there'll be guys wearing.
I bet Newcastle's the same.
Everton full strip, including including socks pulled up to the knees.
No!
Or Liverpool kits.
No. I have a couple of England shirts, and so I do wear it. But there's a little bit of me that thinks, England or replica shirts, country replica shirts particularly, should only be worn by kids and full internationals.
Yeah, no one over the age of 19 or something like that. There again, I've got a lot of replica shirts.
And I'm yes, I've got a lot of very nice ones. That
yeah, you've got a lovely French one on right now.
I quite like wearing them. I tend to only wear them to the podcast or the gym.
Do you know,
I don't wear them out and about.
It's okay, because Phil is in outstanding shape. Not so much me. I think if you're going to wear a kit, you've got to be in relatively good shape, and you're going to have to be actually playing rugby or doing something. It looks terrible when you see the 40 plus year old man with a beer belly with the
Pro-fit shirt.
Yeah, the Pro-fit. It's just awful. Rugby league fans. I mean, it's a very rugby league look, isn't it?
Well, every time I pull on an international kit, I'm prepared to go into battle.
Yeah.
I consider that. Am I ready today? No, I'm a bit hungover. I'll put the France top on the side. Do I feel good? Yes, I've had my pre-match meal. I'll put my France international top on.
Exactly.
If I get called up, very short notice for an international rugby game, I could play.
I have the same thing with certain songs on my rugby playlist. I don't like to listen to them in the civilian world.
Yeah,
it might mean that I have to tackle my wife or something.
You sat on a bus, you just get too hyped up.
Driving to McDonald's, it's not good.
Driver. Yeah, no, not good. Right, Phil, you had a little idea then for Six Nations, a sort of rugby, Egg Chasers rugby podcast version of Snog, Marry, Avoid.
Yes, so it was, who's going to win?
Mm-hmm.
What the biggest surprise is going to be, mm-hmm. which could be a team, player, an event that happens.
Yeah.
And who the star player of this year's tournament is going to be.
Win surprise star. I'm going to pick Win. For me, it's Wales.
Okay.
4 years ago, they came off the back of a World Cup and won Six Nations.
They did. Believe.
Did they get a Grand Slam after that, in fact? No. No, it wasn't a Grand...
We have had a Grand Slam in recent years.
Anyway, I don't think there'll be even a Triple Crown. I think people will all beat each other, but I think Wales will come out on top. Surprise, Dylan Hartley will not get a yellow card. That'll be my surprise for the Six Nations. And the star performer of the Six Nations, I'm going to predict Chris Robshaw.
I think that's a really good prediction. I do.
What, Robshaw?
Yeah, I think he's going to have a really good Six Nations. He'll be very, very motivated, put it mildly.
So my three. I also said Wales. They're the most settled team. Ireland have got a few injuries. England and France have kind of torn up the rule books a little bit. England on the coaching side, France on the playing side. So I think they've got the best chance. And they've got three home games. Which is quite big.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise, I think Scotland are going to win three games this year.
Wow, that's a big prediction. They didn't win any last year.
I know, including getting beat at home by Italy, albeit it was two yellow cards in the last 10 minutes that kind of was the final nail in the coffin for them.
Are you thinking it's going to be their home games they're going to win?
I think they're going to beat England at home. They're going to beat Italy away, and probably France at home.
Wow.
So that's my three. On a very, very, very long shot for a surprise would be an Andy Goode call-up.
Wow.
It's a long shot.
Well, it's a medium shot.
It's a long shot.
Medium.
It's probably, I mean, if Ford and Farrell and Sippers all get injured, Slade's already injured, you never know.
I was about to say stranger things have happened, but I'm not sure they have.
I'm not sure that's true. And my star man, I've gone for Wales because I think they're going to win it. And it's either going to be a return to former glory of George North, who is only 23.
He's been
nuts, isn't it?
Or Alan Wynne-Jones, who is going to lead from the front, particularly if Warburton gets injured, which he normally does. Although he normally gets injured when he's playing for the Blues, not Wales. But we'll see. But anyway.
Well, not to be boring, but to win, it'll be Wales.
Okay, we're all going Wales.
Full house.
The surprise will be the return to prominence of France. After a horrible, horrible World Cup, I think they're going to come good towards the end of the tournament. And my star... unsurprisingly, it's going to be Dan Biggar, who's going to treat the Six Nations tournament trophy like a girl. He's going to look at it and take it home.
is that all Dan Biggar has to do in Cardiff to get a girl? Look at them.
Pretty much.
As long as Mike Phillips isn't around.
Even if Mike Phillips
isn't
around.
He gets his pick when Mike Phillips isn't around.
I bet there were some celebrations in that World Squad secretly when Mike Phillips went off to Paris. Just up the odds. Just gave the others a chance.
You made me laugh. BT Sport did a really good piece on all the Welsh guys in France. They did it in this cafe, and they brought Haskell over and all eating croissants and all that thing, all culture and stuff. And the gag was, Mike Phillips' phone kept on going off. He kept on texting, and then he goes, "Right, boys, I've got to go." And then gets out and leaves. And I think Charles just goes, "Yeah, he does it all the time."
just on the Six Nations, do you know who's favourite?
I would have said Ireland or Wales.
It's actually England are currently favourites.
Really?
The bookies follow the market, so people putting money on England. But there's probably some value in Wales there. Roughly, England are less than 2-1.
England have got a fairly favourable run of fixtures.
Wales and Ireland are both roughly 3-1. Both one side or the other. France 5-1, 6-1, Scotland 14-1, and Italy 400-1.
England do have Ireland and Wales at Twickenham. Let's not forget. Those are two big games to have at home in the same tournament.
But they have got three away games.
Yeah.
But
France, Italy, Scotland are the three you'd pick.
Yeah, you would do. You would do. Love France in week five, the final game week, to travel to France when France will start to get some continuity and and the weather will be getting better, so that free-flowing French team that he's picking will actually start to be performing.
Should we go through the actual matchups then?
Go for it.
Because for round one, France-Italy is the first game, 2:25 on Saturday.
France versus Italy.
France hosting Italy.
We're going to be... We're going to have to wait and see.
And what trophy are they playing for, Tim?
Oh, yeah. I know.
I don't know.
The Garibaldi trophy.
Garibaldi.
Is it?
Yeah. Named after the biscuit, yeah. I believe.
That's exactly right, Phil.
Yes. Yeah. Named after the biscuit.
Not an explorer.
No.
He's a general.
Was he a general?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
There's a statue of Garibaldi in Nice. Town in the centre of Nice. There's a big statue of Garibaldi, the biscuit. I'm assuming it's the biscuit.
It's not a very exotic Italian name, is it, Gary?
No. And it's not very nice. It's not very.
Is a joke before anyone. Yeah.
Oh, dearie me.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. So France, the new look France against the Italy. I think this. Oh, it's just what a perfect way for Guy Nerves to bed his new regime in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big win for France. Yeah. Let's leave it there.
Cool. Scotland, England. I am nervous. Scotland have got a lovely stash.
Yep.
Albeit Macron.
Yeah, it disintegrates after 5 or 10 minutes of actually wearing it.
But it looks great. It does.
I think you're going to come unstuck against a Scottish set piece. No, I'm sure I'll live to regret saying that. But that's what I think.
If I was Scottish, and what's particularly if I was a Scottish player, I would be looking at all the fuss that everyone's making about Eddie Jones, about England and stuff, and I'd be thinking, hold on a minute. Wow, how did they do in the World Cup? And what happened with us? And we've got a point to score and a settle to score. So I think Scotland are going to be unbelievably up for this one. I do think England are going to edge it. Owen Farrell's boot.
I think Scotland will win this. I don't know. It's very tight. I think Vernkos is a damn good coach too. So.
Yeah, he is. He's a very good coach. Their squad is fairly settled from the World Cup. I think it'll be very close. It'll be settled by less than 5 points either way. If Mark Bennett plays, Scotland win.
Right.
If Mark Bennett doesn't play, England win.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And then on Sunday, and this is the real... I mean, some great matchups. These are the games... I think these are my favourite combination of games. The three matchups we've got in the first weekend. Because there's something about Ireland-Wales... that always brings out really, really exciting style of rugby. I love Ireland-Wales matchups down the years. So,
yeah.
3 o'clock, Sunday afternoon.
I'm going to pick Wales. I think, obviously, they had the better World Cup. The World Cup was really interesting for Wales because they got to blood a lot of new players, particularly in the backs. And now they're getting all of their stars back. You know, you'll have Jonathan Davis, who's a big player. Liam Williams is fit. And I think that alone will be enough. Whether Liam Williams starts or not is a completely different thing. Ireland are rebuilding, despite Phil's protests, and I just can see Wales winning and maybe winning well.
I still think, is Peter Omani out? He is out, isn't he?
I think he is, yeah. Omani's out, yeah. Henderson's out,
yeah.
Tommy Bowe's out.
There are a few important gaps there. I think they do still have... Oh, that does worry me, actually, in their pack.
And for me, if Sexton plays, because he's a doubt because of concussion, last thing I read, he'd followed half the concussion protocols but hadn't finished it off yet.
What did he forget?
Yeah. couldn't remember why he was there and left early.
If Sexton plays, Ireland win.
Yeah.
If Sexton doesn't play, Wales could win.
Yeah, I would.
No, you don't think that Sexton's the difference, do you?
Completely. No,
I was. We've already seen Sexton v Bigger once in this year, and it was very comfortable. Johnny Sexton.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Okay.
What do you want to argue that Johnny Sexton?
Oh dear.
Johnny Sexton bossed that Leinster Ospreys game. Absolutely bossed it.
In the biggest games, Johnny Sexton hasn't been that good.
Biggest games?
Try the World Cup.
The World Cup against Argentina, Against France, he was superb. Against Argentina, when they were missing half their team because of injury, yeah. Okay. But it wasn't Sexton. It was the injuries.
Johnny Sexton has beaten Southern Hemisphere teams and been the man of the match in those games. You're talking about big game players. Dan Biggar is excellent. He's superb.
But the best.
Dan Biggar hasn't managed to grab Wales by the scruff of the neck.
Oh, he has.
And drag them over the line against a Southern Hemisphere team.
How many attempts has he had against Australia?
Well, thankfully, Ireland is only across the water, so we won't need to worry. It's a big enough occasion for Dan Biggar to take it seriously, and that means you're in trouble. That's the end of it.
All right. And that is week one of the Six Nations. I just cannot wait. There's one thing, right, which I wanted to... Well, one thing I've been wondering whether we bring up before we move to the domestic rugby that's there this weekend, which, again, it feels weird. It does feel... It's going to be hard to keep the same level of motivation up about the domestic rugby while the Six Nations is going
on. For the fans, yeah?
For the fans.
Yeah, sorry. I thought you meant the players.
I mean, the whole...
Not for us as well.
Oh, not for us. We love it. Any rugby. Pro 12, don't we, Jay? Love Pro 12.
Oh, I love Pro 12.
The more Pro 12, the better.
There should be loads more. It should be like a Pro 24.
They should have midweek fixtures. Yeah.
But our egg-shaped ball cousins, there's two different egg-shaped ball cousins. There's American football, I want to come on and mention that, and there is also rugby league. And there's been another story coming out of rugby league in the last week. We've had the story before of bubbling, which was one of the rugby league players... Do we need to go into what bubbling is?
No, let's not go into it.
If you really want to look it up, and I put safe search on...
Not safe for work.
No, definitely not safe for work, but bubbling. Now, there is... I don't know how you describe this, but Mitchell Pearce has been up to some antics, hasn't he?
Right, OK. This is nothing like as bad as it sounds.
No, I mean, it isn't. It
really isn't. If you watch the video, there's nothing nothing wrong with it.
Have you watched the video, Phil?
He is drunk.
Watched the video, Phil?
I haven't.
It's Australia Day party. He's a young man in Australia celebrating his national day, and he makes pass at a woman who isn't interested. Big deal. Let the boys play.
It is. It's a non-story.
He's
been stepped down from training.
It's outrageous.
What? Yeah. What?
I know.
I just thought it was like a... And finally...
The person who should be most ashamed of themselves is the person with the camera who filmed this and then sailed this young man down the river. For what? A couple of quid from a newspaper and 5 minutes of fame.
Did any England players actually miss games and get stood down for throwing dwarfs?
No, and they shouldn't
be. No, I don't think so.
They should. No, they shouldn't be. Yeah.
So, someone has filmed him. He tried to kiss a woman. She accuses him of wetting himself after rejecting his advances. Before he allegedly...
Because that's a natural response for being rejected. I'll just wet myself. It's going to be more sexually
I'll wet myself and grab your dog. aren't you glad that we're not so high profile as some of the stuff that's happened to... Like New York, for example. Aren't you glad that we're not high profile enough that what we get up to in New York isn't going to be plastered on websites and all around
Absolutely.
The world?
Well, you're obviously speaking for us, Tim. I mean, you're... I thought you were on the verge of making your come back to the big time following Andy Good. So, I mean, you could be all over Twitter.
All right, so our other egg ball shaped cousins are the NFL, of course. By the time you listen to this podcast, this coming weekend on Sunday, same later in the evening after Ireland Wales, it will be the Super Bowl. But as we speak right now, before we record the pod later this evening, it is the Pro Bowl, which... Could we do this in rugby union is the question, I guess. So, JB, you can explain what the Pro Bowl is.
Yeah, so the Pro Bowl is a match between the AFC and the NFC. So the NFL is split down the middle and there's a certain amount of teams in one conference.
16 in one, 16 in another.
Exactly. So all the players vote on who the best player in each position is. They add up the votes and these individuals go to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii and they play each other.
Cool.
That's basically it. Sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Here's a problem. They don't play particularly hard. In fact, it's almost laughable how hard they don't play.
It's like Harlem Globetrotter type stuff.
Barbarians.
Yeah, so the Barbarians play a lot harder. Yeah. A lot harder. So it'd be a Barbarian-style game.
I like that.
you could do after the Six Nations, the players all vote for the best player in their position in the Six Nations, and then they do that in the Quad Nations or Rugby Championship. Yeah, or whatever.
Do you know what? I actually think it'd be better to do the Premiership or the French League, because there's a lot of exiles there who are easily good enough to play international but don't, and it'd be nice to give them some recognition.
Oh, I was
going to say, do it Premiership v Pro 12, but as a selection for the Lions Tour, and actually use it as a selection game.
That's not a bad idea, Phil. Well, then you.
Thanks.
So who would the coaches select the two teams?
Players vote. Players vote for the players, and you get a 23-man squad for each, so you get 46 players, and then you use it as a train, like an open-doors training, and also a selection game.
Just building up two Lions. And then it would only have to happen once every 4 years. Yeah. We're always talking about not playing...
Congested fixtures.
Fixture congestion.
Yeah.
What about this? The NFL used to, I don't think it does anymore, used to have an NFL skills contest, and the NHL does the same thing. Imagine we could have a skills contest like, so hookers throwing at targets. We could have Dave Ward, Rory Best, what's the Scottish fella called?
Ross Ford.
Ross Ford, all trying to hit barn doors. you can see like who the fastest winger is over 10 yards, 20 yards.
Rugby League do that every year, don't they?
Do they?
The start of the Super League season.
And that's borrowed from NFL, where they have the combines, which is training like that before the draft. Who has the best bench press?
Who would not like to see...
Who can do the most number of bench presses at this weight? Who can jump highest?
That. I'd love to see that in rugby.
That'd be brilliant.
I love the 40-yard dash, the bench press. It's 220-pound, which is 100 kg, bench press for reps. And the record's like 51.
Do you know what would be really cool? I'd like to see...
Unbelievable.
That is ludicrous.
I would like to see a round of rugby golf with the top fly halves.
Oh, yeah. On a proper golf course.
Yeah.
I'd love to know who categorically is strongest and fastest in the Premiership or in the England or the Six Nations.
But like three cone drills, so you can test agility and stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Now we're talking. So we want like start of a season when they're doing pre-season training, we could just have and it could be a televised event. It could be a televised event. It's a bit of fun, but actually, it's a great way of promoting the game and a bit of friendly rivalry. People send one person from each Premiership club, and you have 12 people in like a sort of superstars type thing, and you have various different events. That's a pre-season one. I like that a lot.
I tell you what, not just the televised event would be great, but also because BT, Sky, whoever it is, love these 6-second vines. It's perfect for those 6-second vines that can easily be shared on Twitter, Facebook.
Right, we've got some domestic rugby to talk about. Like I say, I'm conscious that for some people it's going to be all about Six Nations. So let's do this slightly with a bit more brevity than we would normally do. It's a big game Friday night, actually, before the Six Nations gets underway. Bath Gloucester, West Country rivals under the Friday night lights. Bath, I think they've pushed Toulon twice in back-to-back games. They've pushed the European and now English champions very, very close. I think Gloucester are going to get ready for a kick in on Friday. I don't think it'll be loads of points, but I think Bath are going to come out swinging.
I will have Bath at home, yes.
Yes, I'll go for that. I think it will be very close because Gloucester, they're looking good this season.
Yeah,
it's not their year yet, but they're building towards their year next year, maybe.
Who on earth will Bath play at 10?
Well,
if Bowden recovers from his head injury, yeah,
which he won't, there's no chance. He was out cold.
I was looking at that thinking this is great for Bath. Priestland goes and Bowden just steps in.
Looks awesome.
Until he got his head on the wrong side of Brad Barrett's knee. Ugh, that was.
It could have been worse. It could have been on the wrong side of Brad Barrett's chin.
Very good.
Ulster v Dragons.
Oh, big win. Big win at home for the Ulstermen.
Yeah, fine.
Saturday. These ones clashing with the Six Nations. Quins, Northampton, both disappointed after the weekend's exploits. Quins need to get back on and start winning. Northampton, well, that's if they want to maintain that top four and not get reeled in by teams like Bath, who are trying to have a bit of a comeback. Northampton, got to really pick themselves up, look in the mirror, ask themselves some questions this week.
I think Northampton favourites for this, because no one seems to suffer more from the lack of leaders than Quins.
Yeah.
But there again, I'm wrong all the time on Quins, all the time.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Because Quins, they do still have two of their big leaders in Easter and Evans. But it's... Marla, Kerr, Robshaw, Brown, and Jamie Roberts to lose, and Tim Visser.
But they were so bad, Northampton.
Are Northampton actually losing? Because like Burrell's not gone, Foden's not gone, Myler's not gone, Dixon's not gone, Laws and Hartley have gone.
Just Hill. Hill, Hartley.
Kieran Brooks Laws. Hasn't gone.
Brooks is injured.
He played. So they're only really losing a couple of players. North.
The only problem is...
I'm going to get it wrong, but I'm going to call Saints.
Yeah, the only problem is that Alex King has butchered that attack.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Absolutely butchered it. He's done that Spanish painting when they tried to restore it. He's basically done that to the Northampton attack.
So they've got like a priceless masterpiece, and someone's just done the tiny little bit of graffiti, and they go and pour nail polish all over it.
Exactly what he's done.
Oh yeah,
it's an interesting analogy to use.
Thank you.
Very cultured analogy.
Yes,
that's me.
I don't know.
It's a really tough one, that.
Oh, I'll go Quinns at the home. Yeah, no worries. I'm going to go Quinns.
Quinns.
But that'll be tight as well. Wasps, Newcastle.
Both teams will be relatively intact.
But Wasps are at home, so they could well lose this one.
Yes.
They haven't been very good at home, have they?
Well, Wasps' back line is going to be pretty consistent. There'll be Robson, Gopperth, Jacobs.
Yeah, who do you think is going to win?
Elliot.
Wasps.
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 Yeah. And Leicester will
beat Sale, but not all completely one-way traffic, I have to say.
They will beat Sale. They will beat them. And on to Sunday, when in the Aviva Premiership, it is that big glamour tie, Exeter Saris. And we get to watch this one. We get to watch this one live, and then get to watch Ireland Wales. So this is a good doubleheader for Sunday.
Very good doubleheader.
In fact, two massive games. You've got Irish hosting Worcester, and you've got Exeter hosting Saracens. That's pretty big.
It's huge, actually.
That is pretty big.
Saracens to win. Worcester. From what I've seen today, Worcester look class.
Irish at home.
Irish at home for me.
Really? No.
Yeah.
I tell you what I really like about Worcester is they like to play from all sorts of areas, but their pack is pretty strong.
Their back three is superb. The back three is
Cooper Vuna, the other lad.
Cooper Vuna!
Bryce Heem and Powell.
Bryce Heem, that's the boy. Yeah, he can run.
Yeah, there's two other international competitions this weekend, Tim.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
Six Nations B, the Tier 2 Six Nations.
Has this...
Well, no, it's happened the last few years, yeah, but right. It kind of always happens, but there's no... link between the two as things stand. So Georgia have won it like four out of the last 5 years or even more.
It's going to be Romania or Georgia every year.
Well, Russia are a fairly handy team, but Georgia, Germany this weekend. Russia play Spain, Romania play Portugal. So besides Germany, they've all had World Cup experience.
Yeah, that's right, they haven't they?
And the other one, Tim.
Yeah.
There's the America's Rugby Championship.
Oh, all starting this weekend?
Yes.
Wow.
Which is Chile play Brazil, not so big, but then Canada play Uruguay and United States play Argentina, which I can only imagine is an Argentina B team because the Jaguars are about to start in the Super Rugby tournament.
I can't believe we haven't talked about this, and I think this should be a good thing to finish on. We've got the Six Nations coming up, and we haven't mentioned Eddie Butler. I mean, there's a few things we see every Six Nations, isn't there? There's, you know, you see... Jonathan Davies basically being a bit like Jonathan Spratt. Forward!
Forward!
Forward! Go Wade! Go Wade! You see... What else do you see in the Six Nations? You see...
Brian Moore calling people dull morons.
Yeah. Or just going really, really in-depth on scrummaging to a degree that and your average fan doesn't care
getting
about.
Getting exasperated with Toby Flood kicking the ball.
You will see... the other thing you will see is Eddie Butler. He's not going to be saying Benjamin Kaiser and
Noah Nakatasi,
Mathieu Bastereau, but he will be putting his French accent on players like Scott Spedding. So we'll look forward to that. But also, and I'm going to play a bit of music for this, Eddie Butler and his montage. The Eddie Butler montage is just beautiful. England, the Rose. Rising like a phoenix from the flames. Eddie Jones arriving like England's Yoda. Dylan, leading from the front. Fire in his heart. Moobs on his chest. I am looking forward to the Eddie Butler montage.
Do you know Eddie Butler did a montage for the NFL the other day for the BBC?
What?
Yeah, exactly. Can you remember the last time a South Walian played, you know, Carolina Panthers? I mean, there might have been one on the offensive line at some point. It just seems so out of place.
Do you think he must get...
Montage money. Yeah, big montage. He's got a lobby and everything.
He'll get montage money, but it's become such a thing that happens. Oh, no, we've got to have Eddie Butler's montage. No, hold on. It's Six Nations. We've got to have Eddie Butler's montage. That I bet he's hiked his price up to an unbelievable level.
Do you know what I really dislike?
What?
Okay, the Any Given Sunday speech. It's
the inches we need.
It's amazing.
Everywhere.
Amazing speech. But only in the context of that film. When they roll in actors to do it, and thespians, and just... it's just so cringeworthy.
When do they do that?
Oh, all the time. If you YouTube that speech, you've got all these lists of, like, when TV channels have used the speech to promote, like, Six Nations or rugby or whatever the sport is that they want to do.
Women's badminton.
Yeah.
It could work.
Northern Thunder netball.
It could work on Television X or stuff like that.
Very good. You're on fire tonight, Tim.
And on that.
Maybe we should finish on that.
Yeah, finish on that one. Let's finish on that.
Enjoy the Six Nations. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Acast app, and on iTunes as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You mates, leave us a review and we will see you next time. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Top man, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.